When you don't have enough backbone to stand up and say, son or daughter, daddy or mother, friend or neighbor, I am not going to have it. And that's that. If you don't have that, you haven't got it. When you get it like Abraham had it, then you've got it. You'll stand up for the right thing and nobody will have to tell you. Nobody will have to drill you and you won't be afraid that you're going to hurt somebody's feelings over it. It won't matter whether feelings are hurt or not. You'll stand up for God. Let me tell you, when we esteem people's feelings above our concern for God, something's wrong with us, folks. God should be number one. I feel that we should esteem God's feelings. Whose feelings are we going to hurt? Our family's feelings or God's feelings? When we make allowance for evil in our home, we've hurt God's feelings. And I don't want to hurt God's feelings. I don't want to hurt your feelings, and I'm not going to hurt your feelings unless I do it through the gospel. And if I do it that way, you need your feelings hurt. But otherwise, I'm not going to hurt your feelings. But you can be sure if there's any way to protect God's feelings, I'm not going to hurt his. I'll hurt yours before I hurt his. Now, I know I hurt his when I hurt yours if you're doing right. But now, if you're doing wrong, then I'm not hurting God's feelings. You might say, well, Brother Pike, I'm a child of God, you know. And you hurt my feelings, you hurt God's feelings. That's not so. If you're doing the wrong thing and I hurt your feelings, I've not hurt God's feelings. When you're acting like a child of God and I hurt your feelings, then I've hurt God's feelings. But the way that people act sometimes, you have to hurt their feelings to keep them straight. All right, so then, I love the Lord. I thank God because He is with us. He's helping us. And I want you to consider what I'm saying. And I just picked up some spirits in into some people considering what I said. It hit home. And I just picked up a spirit then, and the thoughts went through like that concerning being here at the campground and having been pulled away or getting away and not being interested in the things of God. And it went by me then, and I saw it, a feeling that they really ought to be here, that they have neglected. But now listen to me. There's another side to this story. It's no good to be at the campground if you're not going to do anything. You understand? Now, I don't say that to hurt you, but if you're going to be at the campground, it's good to consider the way that I felt your spirit considered. But the thing is, if you're going to be here to do something, because you're better off where you're at if you're not going to do anything here. At least you're doing something. So if you're going to be here, then be here to do something, and then it'll work out right. I want to read in the 119th chapter of the book of Psalms, and just exhort you just a little bit. I may not try to preach at you, but just to encourage you a little bit. Now, we're getting some wonderful letters. And notice when we come home, we had letters from California, letters from Hawaii, we had letters from Florida and from Colorado and Ohio and all over the country. Numbers of them had offerings in them that had been sent to us for the work of God. And numbers of people were asking for literature and books. And we've got a number of letters from people who say that they are listening regular to the radio program. They write and say, Brother Pike, we hear you daily on the radio. And they tell us how they enjoy it. From over in Griffin, Georgia, we've got a number of letters here as of late. And they say they listen at it with a regularity. And we appreciate so much the wonderful blessings of God and the way that you've stood behind the radio programs. So I want you to continue to pray with us, continue to stand with us in our outreach for God in whatever we're doing, because it's of the greatest of importance that you do whatever you're doing with all of your heart, and don't get discouraged if the Bible teaches not to be weary in well-doing. And what you're doing in the offices and what you're doing at Little Bethlehem is well-doing. So don't get weary. In due season you'll reap if you faint not. Don't get weary. Just keep on doing what you're doing to the best of your ability, and God will bless you for it. Chapter 119 of the book of Psalms. I want to read this to encourage you a little bit. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. I like that, don't you? Now, if I ask you tonight to raise your hand, you that are the undefiled, could you really do that tonight? Could you really do that tonight? Did you know the Bible teaches that the man or woman that is born of God, that he keepeth himself, or she keepeth herself, and the evil one toucheth them not. When a man is really born of God, or a woman is really born of God, according to the Holy Scriptures, the devil never at any time ever even so much as touches them. Did you know that's Bible? So then, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. It's obvious here that the undefiled, according to the teachings of David, are they who walk in the law of the Lord. So then, if I ask you tonight, how many of you are walking in the law of the Lord? I wonder what my answer would be. Blessed are they that keep his testimony. Now, you know, God's testimony is the word of God. Did you know that? And the man that keeps the word of God keeps the testimony of Christ. And that seek him with the whole heart, they also do no iniquity. Can you imagine that? How have you listened to me tonight? The Bible teaches that blessed are the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimony. And they that seek him with the whole heart, they also do no iniquity. Now that if I ask you tonight, how many of you are here tonight that do no iniquity, I wonder what kind of answer I would get from you. Can you truthfully say that you do no iniquity? You don't think wrong. You don't act wrong. You don't speak wrong. Charity behaveth itself not unseemingly. You don't get out of order. You do no iniquity. I wonder how many hands would be raised tonight. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the loaning that it hath under thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimony also are my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared thy ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and turn and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. For I trust in thy word, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For I have hope in thy judgment. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The band of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee. Because of thy righteous judgments, I am a companion of all of them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. For I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimony, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when will thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When will thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, I just want to take a few minutes and talk with you concerning the Psalms of David. David in the writings here tells us that the Word of God is settled in heaven. And did you notice that in the teachings of David, that David did not blame the devil in that he was afflicted? Did you know? Have you noticed that? He never blamed the devil in that he was afflicted. But he said, speaking of God, he said, "Thou, O Lord, hath afflicted me righteously." I'm not complaining, David said, because I know that the afflictions and the problems that I'm having, he said, "Lord, you're in control, and thou hast afflicted me righteously." Well, that is to say, David was saying, Satan, that is guilty of attacking me, he can only do it because you have allowed him to do it, God. There's some reason when people have problems. Did you know that? That's why I made the statement earlier that if my ways please God, God will make my enemies to be at peace with me. See, if we are afflicted, then we need to sit down and consider the thing and say, "Lord, what's the matter with me? What is it that I'm doing that's wrong in your sight? Or what is it I'm failing to do that's causing the devil to come in on me like this?" See, there has to be a reason. There's got to be some kind of a reason if you're having trouble. The Bible tells us in the day of our afflictions or the day of our adversaries that we should sit down and we should consider, and we should consider our ways before God, because if our ways please God, God will make our enemies to be at peace with us. And if you're having problem, and I know that a number of you are having problems, then you need to sit down and consider and ask God to tell you the reason why. Go to God and say, "Lord, tell me why that I'm having this problem." And God will tell you. Did you know that? How do you know that God will talk with you? God will tell you why that you're having your problems. If you're having problems with your neighbors, then there's a reason for it. And God will tell you what the reason is if you'll go to him. Did you know, according to the Bible, in the days of David, when David was having such a great, outstanding problem, all of Israel was having problems and he couldn't understand what was going wrong. And David went to God and David began to call on the Lord. Every time David had problems, he always went to God. See, when you got problems, don't go to your neighbor. That's not going to settle the problem, but go to God. So then David, he went to the Lord and he said, "Lord, why is it that Israel is so troubled? Why is it these great problems are prevailing against Israel? And why is it that we're not overcomers day by day, knowing that we're the people of God and the great army of God, and we're having all these problems? What is it, Lord?" And the Lord spoke to him and said, "David, it is because of the wicked house of Saul. It is because of all the evils that Saul did in his day. He did evil and said, 'I want something done about it.'" Well, what could David do about the evils of Saul? He could do something about it. You know what it was? Saul's sons was allowed to live, and God was grieved over it because it killed other people. Saul had put other people to death. God wanted the lives of those sons. He wanted them to pay in judgment for all of the evils that they had done. And just as quick as he instructed David, David sent out and had those people killed and done away with all the disorders of the land. And the wrath of God lifted and everything was well and Israel got along all right. See, if we've got problems at Little Bethlehem, then it's because of Little Bethlehem. There's something that we're doing that's displeasing to God, and we need to fast and pray and get things straightened out. Now that I understand, while I was gone, that we had a great problem down here on the campground. What was the problem? Somebody say, "Well, it was the problem because the devil came on the campground." But who gave place to the devil? Somebody made way for the devil to come on the campground, or he couldn't have come down there. Come on now. The Bible teaches that the wicked cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. There's something wrong. If the devil came on the campground, somebody on the campground or somebody at Little Bethlehem is guilty of giving place to the devil, or the devil could not be down there. When you and I fast, and when you and I pray, and when you and I seek God properly, and we go about our Father's business properly, and when we link arms together, everything will be all right. But when I find fault with you, and you find fault with me, and then we get a Judas in the crowd, we're having nothing but trouble. As long as I am warring with you and you're warring with me, and as long as we got just, we're always at each other's throat, we're always going to have problems. And I know that even though I wasn't here to judge the situation, I judge it, Paul said, as one that would be there in spirit according to the word of God. I can judge it, though I'm not here. I judge it according to the word. Something is wrong at Little Bethlehem, or the devil couldn't be giving us trouble. Our ways need to please God. If you're having trouble with your wife, and you're having trouble with your husband, and you're having trouble with your children, there's something wrong with you, and you need to do something about it. If I have trouble with my wife and children, there's something wrong with me. I need to find out what's going on. I need to go to God, and I need to make inquiry, and I need to find out what's going on. A lot of people say, well, what about old brother Job? Job had done no wrong, but he's having trouble with his family. He had some of the most wretched children that ever lived. Wretched as they could be, when God killed them, they were in the act of iniquity. Something was wrong with Job's household. Is that right? And did you know when God confronted Job, even though Job had protested, and even Job said, I'm righteous and I haven't done any wrong, when God came down, he said, Job, he said, shall a mortal man be more righteous than God? Are you going to stand up and tell me that you're not guilty of any wrong and that I'm the aggressor and that I've sinned and done wrong because I punished you? Job said, I've sinned. That took care of it. Now see, that's the way it is with us. Now Job was a good fella. The Bible said he was perfect. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, if he was perfect, how did he do wrong? If you're perfect, how did you do wrong? A lot of you that's perfect, you've done wrong. You know how you're perfect? Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, God's love found no fault with Job. But when Job started justifying human flesh, when the Bible said no flesh shall be justified in the sight of God, Job had to stand before God, and God said, Job, I want you to explain it to me. If you know more than I do, I want you to tell me. And he began to ask him about all the great galaxies and the things of the heavens and said, now, Job, if you're so smart, you tell me. I've been running things and doing a pretty good job of it. Now, if you're so smart and you got it all figured out, you tell me what's wrong. And Job said, he put his hands over his mouth and said, I want him to speak. You understand what I'm saying? Now, we could be some great people and we can have some great understanding, but brothers and sisters, when it comes to arguing with God or trying to figure out something because we believe it that way, or somebody quotes the word of God to you and you say, I don't believe it, then there's something wrong with you. You need to get straightened out. Somebody said, well, I was taught this and I believe this, and for so long I've been in this. It doesn't make any difference. If God says it's another way, it's another way. You love Jesus? All right, so then David did not complain, but David said, Lord, thou hast afflicted me in righteousness. When David was driven off of the throne and had all of his problems as he started back into Jerusalem, one fellow wanted to spit on him and curse him, and another loyal companion of David said, I'll take his head off. And David said, don't you bother him. Said, there is a reason that God had him to spit on me or curse me or whatever he done. So there's a reason. And folks, there's a reason when you have problems. There's a reason when we have problems at Little Bethlehem. If our ways at Little Bethlehem please God, God is going to make our enemies be at peace with us at Little Bethlehem. It doesn't matter whether it's Marcus Malcolm, the Justice of the Peace, or whether it's Sheriff Thornton, whoever it might be here in Monroe, if our ways please God, God will make them be at peace with us. It's just like not too long ago when the police got all out of sorts and started harassing us. And just, it tore me up. And I went to God and I said, do something, Lord. And he did. And a few of them met with some bad accidents and a death and different things. And they quietened down and they started leaving us alone. Like Johnny told Marcus the other day when he made his smart remark about the people of Little Bethlehem. Johnny said, you remember them police that was killed? Said that had to do with God. And said, there's some more of it on the way. And he said, it turned Malcolm around a little bit. Now, a man like that don't even need to be in office. I tell you how I express it public to you. He ought not be in office. I express it over the radio to him and all the listeners that he ought not to be in office. Insult a man's wife while he's standing there carrying out something. Now, but the thing is, if Marcus or Sheriff Thornton or any other policeman, any other power, any other authority, any other church, whatever it might be, if they have any power over us, then it's because we are not going on with God. The Bible teaches that I'll put the fear of you upon all of them of the land, and they'll be afraid of you because you are called by my name. And I feel the Holy Ghost, and I believe every word of it. I believe if I contact God, if I stay before God, that nobody is going to give me trouble. I believe it. I go to God and I say, Lord, you're my help. David said, God, you're my help in the time of need. And I go to God and I say, Lord, you're my help. Stand with me, Jesus. And I feel the mighty surge of the Holy Ghost come sweeping down. And I hear God in his way say, I will stand with you. Hallelujah. And he'll do it too. I tell you what. Now, if we are at peace with God, if we are at peace with our neighbor, the Bible said all of the paths of God are peace. And if we're at peace with our enemies, everything will be well with us. Everything will be well with us. We can have a path of peace, Bill. Follow a path of peace. All the paths of God are peace. If we are following the path of God here at Little Bethlehem, why don't we have peace? See, we've been having peace. God's been making our enemies be at peace with us. I've had a few of them to rise up at me on the campground out here. God has put them to shame, put them in the hospital. Some of them is in the ground, dead. Now, if God would do that in the past, isn't God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Won't he do it right now? Have we quit trusting in God? Have we, brethren out here, decided we're going to quit trusting in God and we're just going to go down and smack somebody in the face? I hear that some of them got pretty strong. See, that's as good as the devil wants us to get on you and get you upset so that you will smack somebody in the face. That's the whole purpose of it. So that it can reproach the campground out here, and then it will be spread all around it. We got a bunch of devils out here instead of saints. Now, I know people can aggravate you. They can keep on aggravating you until you can get to such a place until you just can't hardly constrain yourself. And that's why the Bible tells us to live peaceably with all men as much as lieth within us. There ain't as much laying within some people as others. Some people just smack you in the face before you realize it. But as much as there is within you, live peacefully. And if there isn't enough in you, then start praying that God will give you some more so that you can live peacefully with folks. So then, I feel that if we are people of God and we love God and God loves us and we're all laborers and fellow workers together, that we can link arms together and love one another and everything will be all right. See, I've said this to you a lot of times. If we go out here and we belittle a brother, if we belittle a sister, now a lot of times I'll discuss a brother with a saint of God. I'll discuss a sister with a saint of God for the betterment of them. I'll do that. But when you take our affairs out to the world and to the carnal side of life and you belittle our people to gain their prestige and their favor, there's something wrong with people like that. Don't you know that if I take Brother Taylor and I take his name out here among the world and the sinners and I tie him down the eyes of those people to gain favor with them, don't you know I'd be a devil? Only a devil would do that. A saint of God could not do that. How could you sin against the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? So then we need to love one another and we need to pray and we need to ask God to help us and to lead us. And our minds should be on winning souls. When these people come on the campground, and you ought to go to them and say, look, we're out here working for God. Why do you want to do us like this? We've not bothered you. Why do you want to come out here and try to mess up something decent? See what it is, the devil wants to do everything he can to defile everything that's virtuous. Because God, the Holy Spirit, has to have a virtuous atmosphere to dwell in. And if the devil can do away with all of the virtue, God can't call it holy ground. And God can't dwell there. And the devil isn't satisfied because it's not part of his kingdom. If he can defile a woman, defile a man, defile a campground, defile anything that's dedicated to God, he wants to do it because then he has a hold of it. See, it's like the little woman that received the healing. She had the issue of blood. When she got close to Jesus, the Bible said she felt virtue come to her in her body. And Jesus said, I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. See, it was the virtue that did the healing. The reason the church is powerless is because the lack of virtue in the church. We need more virtue in our lives, more virtue in the church. We need to live more holy, more pure, more righteous, more separated from the things of the world. You know, the best way to be separated from the things of the world is to separate yourself from the carnal mind. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm trying to get out of the world. I'm trying to get out of the world. Look, the way you get out of the world is when you get out of your own thinking, out of the carnal mind. As long as you got your carnal mind and your carnal thinking, you're in the world. It doesn't matter if you're at Bethlehem or in Europe or wherever you're at. But when you get out of the carnal mind, turn against the old man and put him to the cross, then you're beginning to make progress. They put him to death. They've turned away from the old man. So come out from among them. Come out of the world. Get away from carnal reason. Get away from wanting to eat all the time and drink all the time. Never wanting to pray. Get away from wanting to sleep all the time. Get up out of the bed and pray. See, get away from wanting to spend all the time. You know, somebody would say, well, I finally found out what people want to do. I have too. They want to spend. Eat, drink, and sleep. Spend everything they can get. Eat, drink, and sleep. That's all people want to do. But saints of God don't want to do that. Saints of God don't have their mind on their belly all the time. That's the old serpent. All of their labors for their belly, because their belly craves it of them. Saints of God don't have their mind on spending all the time. But they've got their mind on praying and fasting and giving and helping the needy and trying to do something for the kingdom of God. That's the saints of God. If your mind is on something all the time out there of how you can make a dollar and how you can do this and how you can do that, there's something wrong with you. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that if I get out there and see where I can make $1,000 and then I get my mind on it, something's wrong with me? Something is wrong with you if you've got your mind on that, because that's not God. If you've got your mind on God and then you go out there thinking about what you can do for God, and whatever you find to do for God, do it for God, then the Lord is with you. You don't care where it's picking peanuts or where it's digging potatoes. You're going out there to do something for God. So you're not interested in having a great name and having a great contract in business or having two or three junk cars in the yard. Some of you, I'm amazed at you. At old junk cars you want around in the yard. Which reminds me, down there where Brother Charlie moved from, somebody needs to do a little cleaning up down there. How do you know that we need to do something? Somebody said, well, I'm a preacher. I need to preach. Well, I don't know. I had to do a brake job for about two or three days and then a wheel job and then a universal job too. I still managed to get in some preaching on the side. So you don't ever know. See, I have worked out on the road. I have worked out in the field. Worked on houses, done all kinds of things, carrying the gospel of Christ. It doesn't matter what it is that you have to do, as long as you carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That's what's important. You love Jesus? I don't want to let you go home. Don't get weary. I'm going to let you go home in just a few minutes. All right, so then we've had problems at Little Bethlehem since I've been gone. What is the matter? Little Bethlehem, something's wrong. Not them people that came over here. Somebody said, oh, it's just a bunch of devils that came over here. Well, how many of you knew that they were devils? Did you know they were devils? They were devils before they ever come. They know that they're devils, and they were devils before they ever come. But the thing is, who gave place for the devils to come out here and show off and act up? Don't you know that everybody out there in the world that's not a Christian, that's got the devil in them, is a devil before God? Did you know that? Do you know when God spoke to Peter, he said, get behind me, Satan. He numbered him with the devil. Now, so then it's not a matter of trying to understand whether or not it was the devil that came out here. But the thing is, who was to blame for it? It had to be the saints of God that let down the gap somewhere. Like they put up a chain down here. Somebody said, well, we put up a chain to keep them out. And somebody informed us they'd run through the chain. And they were all upset because they're going to run through the chain. I said, my land, let them run through the chain. They got to pay for the automobile. A chain don't cost much. That's the best way to teach them a lesson. Put up a half a dozen of them, let them run into them. We can afford the chains if they can afford the automobiles. How many of you believe that? See, there's nothing to get alarmed about. It's like when we dug the hole in the road back over yonder in Mississippi. And I asked him to slow down, not to kill them children. Some fellow was going to show me he wasn't going to slow down. I thought, well, go ahead and hit the hole. I can dig the holes if you can afford the automobiles. He hit the hole about one time, and that done the job. He didn't come down through there no more. That stopped it when he got a good lick. Now, so then if we pray, brethren, and we seek God, God will make our enemies to be at peace with us. Now, I'm not going to get down there on my knees and pray. Some of these young people coming out here and cutting up, whereas it's a shame that they would do it. It's a shame that you or I or anybody would let them do it out there that lives on the campground. It's a shame before God. But I'm not going to get down on my knees and pray that God kill them and tear them up, wreck them and take their lives away from them. I'm going to pray that God will save them and help them. And if there's any possible way for God to reach them, that God will reach down and get them. Now, if they are just going to be rebellious, whether it's mine or whoever they are, and they're just going to cause us trouble, God will take their lives sooner or later. We all know that. He did Job's children. He did the other leaders' children, David's children, and he'll do ours the same way. But I'm praying to God that he be merciful. But I'm going to tell you something. You need to stand with me, folks. You need to stand with me. If you live on this campground down here, you need to stand with me in the things of the gospel, and you need to stand up against your relatives and children and friends and neighbors. It don't matter who it is, if it's a visiting preacher or whoever it is comes on the campground, you need to stand with me. I don't mean that every time somebody walks out here in pantsuit or whatever, that you go over there, so to speak, and jump down their throat. I got some women here that act more holy than thou, and they do a lot more unholy things than they do. And somebody can come on a campground and just pounce on them like a bunch of lions. I don't mean that. A lot of people don't know no better. But I do mean that you can go out there and talk to them and explain to them. And then if they take a haughty spirit and they say, bless God, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what a lot of people do. Say, well, you just go ahead and do what you want to do and God will send you to hell for it. And then they'll understand your term of speech. See, how many of you know that words are strong and words hurt? Did you know that? Did you know you can kill a man with words? Did you know that? You can kill a man with words. Words are strong. There's words that were said to me when I was 15, 16 years old. I've never forgotten. They still stay with me because they cut me to my heart. People that said things to me. Words are strong. Words are hurtful. Things that I say from this pulpit are strong. That's why I try to be careful to say them according to the word of God and for the benefit of God. And that which it kills should be killed. And that which it allows to live should live. But words are so strong. You should be careful how you approach somebody. You shouldn't insult somebody. You should be very careful as to what you say. But you should be very courageous. And you should stand up. When it's time to stand up, stand up. But don't just say hard things to hurt people, because that's no benefit to anyone. I got children that are out in sin. You've got children that are out in sin. We all, a lot of us here, have children that are out in sin. I'm concerned about mine. I'm concerned about yours. And I'm not wanting God to get yours out here and let the devil blow their brains out. I'm not wanting that. I'm not wanting that to happen to mine. But I do say one thing. If my children, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, if my children are going to willfully oppose God and stand against God and hinder God and not going to repent and receive God, I'd rather God take their lives and get them off the scene. If they're going to be devils and go to hell, then let them go to hell now before they cause somebody else to go to hell. No need to keep them around. But I love them enough that if there's any way, any possible opportunity, anywhere, to reach them or somebody reach them for God and they repent of their sins and I want it to be done. So I covet your prayers for my children, for my family, for my loved one. And I covet your prayers that I'll be filled with the virtues of God, that I'll be holy and clean and upright in every thought, to shun the very appearance of evil in every thought, that every thought of my mind will be for Jesus Christ. If every thought of my mind isn't for God, then there's something wrong. If you're not giving God every thought of your mind, there's something wrong with you. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. Through the casting down of strongholds, or pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imagination, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I want to say a few more things here, and I'm going to close. But listen, when you sit around, and you can sit in your mind, just sit around in your mind, you can run through a movie that you've seen in the past. You can run through a football game, or you can run through some little joke, or something that's real colorful. That's a devil that you're fellowshipping, and something is wrong with you. If you can run through a little thought about another woman or a man, something that ought not to be, there's something wrong with you. Every thought of your mind should be holy. It should be clean. It should be pure. It should be righteous. And as I live before God, as sure as you fail to strive to come to that place, there's something wrong with you, and you will not make it into the rapture nor the kingdom of God. Now, so you might as well to get on the job, folks. Getting away from repentance of just repenting over and over. Paul said that's the foundation of what we're trying to do. And if you're going to spend the rest of your life doing wrong and then repenting and doing wrong and then repenting, you're never going to get anywhere with God. But he said leaving the foundations, which he called repentance. That's the first thing, is to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And then he said leave that and let us go on to perfection. Every thought to subjection and the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not striving and struggling to do that, there's something wrong with you, and you can be sure that you're not going to be part of the kingdom of God. All right, and you say, Brother Pike, that's mighty strong, but that's the way it is. That's the way it is. When we are having trouble, our ways are not pleasing God. We need to do something. We need to do something. Are you having trouble? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. You need to do something. Are we having trouble at Little Bethlehem when I'm gone away from this place? If we're having trouble, there's something wrong. Somebody has let down the gap. And the devil come in. So then, let's stand together. Let's love one another. And let's keep our minds holy and clean and pure. When we meet one another, whether it's man and woman or whether it's brother, sister in Christ, whatever it is, when we meet one another, let's meet one another with a holy, pure mind and heart in every thought, clean and pure before God. Don't sit around and let the devil use your thoughts to take you back into your homeland, back into the land of your kindred, back into your childhood, back into everything. The Bible said, forgetting those things that are behind, stay away from anything that's going to take you away from a continual meditation in the laws of God day and night. Stay away from anything that's going to hinder you or pull you away. Don't think on it. My mother lives on the campground, but I don't let myself think on my mother. She's been sick for a few days. I haven't seen her since I've been back. But I don't let myself think on it because I got to think about God and to do something for God. When I feel that I'm to go to mother's, I go down there and I think on my mother and I talk to my mother and I show her the love of God in my heart and my love for her. And then when I have to leave, I have to get my mind on God. Folks, don't sit around here, down here in Georgia and keep your mind in the Carolinas. Don't sit here in Georgia and keep your mind in Tennessee. Don't sit here in Georgia and keep your mind in Texas. If your mind's going to be in Texas, go to Texas. But if you're going to be in Georgia, keep your mind on God. Keep your mind on God. And then when you fail to go see your parents, go see your parents. Fellowship your parents. Love your parents. Do whatever you want to do. Leave your parents and come back and do your job for God and get your mind on God. You understand what I'm saying? Let me say this in closing, that if you worked on a job 8 hours a day, an assembly line, if you was working around buzz saws and working around sharp knives, if you got your mind off of what you was doing for a little bit, you'd lose some fingers. Many people have done it. You have to keep your mind on what you're doing. If you are at this church, don't have your mind on another church. If you're following this minister, don't have your mind on another minister. If you're numbered with this flock, don't have your mind on another flock. Wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart is. If your mind is somewhere else, you don't have any part or lot in this matter because your heart's not right with God. You have to be with these brethren. Sell out to it. Be part of it. If you're not, leave it and go on somewhere else. Get with somebody that you've got your mind on. Get with whatever you've got your mind on. If you've got your mind in the world, don't stay at little Bethlehem. Go on out and enjoy sin for a season. And the Bible said, make to yourselves unrighteous, friends of the unrighteous mammon, that they may receive you into everlasting habitation when God rejects you, because he's going to reject you. Go on out there with him. Don't stay around here. Don't be half-hearted. Do whatever is to be done. I tell you what, if you'll take my advice tonight, you'll make it in. You'll have a great life with God. You'll be happy. You won't be double-minded. You won't be divided in your thoughts. And everything will be well with you. And you'll be glad that you're Christian. You'll be glad that you're here at Little Bethlehem. Don't consider this a prison. I am a prisoner of the Lord. But don't consider this a prison. This is the liberties of the sons of God. This is the constraint of the word. We're in the yoke, under the yoke and harness of our God. Willingly and gladly, I accept his bridle and his yoke. And the Bible said, bridle your tongue. If any man among you seem to be religious, don't bridle his tongue. That man's religion's in vain anyway. Bridle your tongue. All right. If you can do that, the Bible said you can bridle the whole body. All right, let's stand together. May the Lord bless you. I don't feel like we've taken a long time tonight because I don't feel like we had all that much singing. And the children, I didn't give way to the children. So I don't feel like we've taken all that long. It's wonderful to have Philip still with us. He's been with us. He made up his mind to be here. He left California, and he's been here with us. And also our other little brother that come to, I believe this is John's wife's brother. Is that right, Philip? Is that right, brother? He come down here. He decided he wanted to be with us. He'd come to visit one time from California. Is it California? California, and he decided that he will stay. So then, we're so glad to have them here with us. And we're glad to have every one of you. It's so good to see Scotty back in church. And so good to see David and have David in the house of God. You know, if we will work more with the youth, we'll have more of them in the house of God. I know you can't allow for their evil. And all of them knows, my children, your children, all of them knows better than to come here dressed wrong and to do wrong. And we've got to lift up a standard against it. We can't allow for it. If we let them come in, then we desecrate the house of God. But if we would have a little love and consideration that they could perceive that we have some love and interest in their lives, they wouldn't be as aggravating to us as they are. You know, you can talk pretty strong to a fellow if he knows in his heart that you love him. Did you know that? But you can't hardly say anything to a person if they don't perceive that you love them. Even a child, you go to correct a child. And if that child don't perceive that you love him, you can't hardly say nothing to him. But if you feed him and clothe him and take care of him and try to work with him and listen to his little problems and try to help him and once in a while give him a little something to cheer his little heart on and try to understand him, when you go to correct him, you can get strong and you can say, "Sonny boy, I'm mean, don't do it." And he'll honor you. He might stick out his tongue after he leaves you. But I'll guarantee you he'll wind up doing what you tell him because he knows that you love him. And that's the way it ought to be. We ought to have love one for another. Love your enemies, do good to them and despitefully use you. Pray for them that persecute you. Be therefore perfect even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Now I want to ask you, are you going to pray for me on the next trip? Are you going to pray for me? Some of you prayed for me. I know you did. But see, what if all of you had prayed for me? My, if I had that much trouble with some of you praying for me. Just think what would have happened if nobody had prayed for me. But think what would have happened if everybody had prayed for me. So then, you need to pray for me. Paul said, pray that doors will be opened for me. And if you've got a ministry to go out to the lost, I'll pray for you. And if you've got a ministry to go out to the lost, I don't want you to stay at Little Bethlehem. I don't never want it to be said, never, that I kept anybody here that should go out to the lost. I said that from the time we started the building here. I say this over and over to our congregation. I don't want anybody building a building, digging a ditch, laying a block. If they're supposed to be out there preaching, I want you to go preach. I've told you that all down through the years. Go out there and preach. But I still say now, as I said then, some of you have got no business going out there preaching. You need to get right with God and you need to serve God. And like a fellow down here in Beaumont, Texas, has been preaching for years. Outstanding businessman, got a big fabulous place down there. But he told me, said, Brother Pike, he said, I'm beginning to realize that what I need to do or want to do is go somewhere and just sit down and listen. And yet he preaches all over the country. Sometimes it would pay us just to sit down and listen. But if you really do have a ministry and it's burning in your heart to go preach, go preach. Don't stay here. You can come back and visit with us and be in and out. And you can be part of Little Bethlehem if you'll work with us. And I'll work with you. But now you're not going to go gallivanting across the country and just do what you want to when you leave and act like a devil and expect us to stand with you. I ain't going to do nothing like that. And the Lord will tell on you. How do you know the Lord will tell on you? Yes, sir. He'll tell on you. Yes, sir. I've had him many a time to speak to me about somebody. I have a person to come in here. I have a new minister will come in here. And he won't be in here in no time before God will speak to me and tell me exactly what he is and all about him. I have one to go on a trip with me. Maybe I've never seen him before. And the Lord will speak to them or speak to me. And the first news you know, I know exactly his character, his nature, just exactly what to expect out of him. That's the way it should be. Have you agreed that that's the way it should be? All right. So then the Lord will tell on you. You do right and God will help you. You do wrong and God will get you. I got a brother that's been out of sorts here in this the last few days. And I haven't talked with him in the last few days. But God has let me know that he's been out of sorts in the last few days and he's upset. And really, he's the one to blame for the wrong or whatever he's upset over. He's to blame. But he's wanting to blame the people. But he needs to consider or he's going to have problems. Okay, let's sing a little song together. Now, I enjoy coming here to Little Bethlehem and preaching the gospel. Sharing the pulpit with other ministers. The sacred desk. I enjoy it. And all I ask you to do is be loyal. Don't come up here and beat the people over the head and find fault with them and tear them down and criticize them and undermine me and the brethren while you're up here. Because if you do, the Lord will kill you down the road and get rid of you. So don't do it. Come up here and be a brother. Use it for the glory of God and help the people. Stand with the people, preach, reprove, rebuke, but love them. And don't come in among us as a wolf and divide the brethren. Try to get their minds on somebody else or something else. Now, just like, don't go trying to get their minds on Brother Branham. Brother Branham is dead. Don't try to get their minds on Brother Branham and the tapes of Brother Branham. Brother Branham's dead. He's done a good job. He's dead. He's gone. They need to keep their mind on somebody that's living that can talk to them about God. So don't start trying to do that. If you want to bring them a tape, bring them a bushel of them. I don't care. Bring them a truckload and let them listen at them. Don't always be around here trying to get their mind on some dead man that can't help them, knowing that you're a hypocrite and that what you've got in mind is to use a dead man to get their minds on you and what you're trying to tell them because you know they can't follow the dead man. And you know you're using him and you want them to follow you and the only Brother Branham will ever have is you. So don't do that. Get their mind on the Word of God and everything will be all right. That's what Brother Branham would do if he was here. And that's what Brother Branham done when he was here, is to get their minds on the Word of God. So let's say if we love him and honor the man of God, just like we do Paul and the others that done such wonderful job, let's do what they instructed us to do and get their minds on the Word of God. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, ain't you a follower of Brother Branham? I'm a follower of Jesus. If you are a follower of Brother Pike, you need to change over and start following Jesus. We are followers of Christ. Now, it's all right to follow me as I follow Christ, Paul said. But brethren, we are followers of Christ. And I'm not trying to get you to follow me. I'm not trying to turn your heart to me or anybody else. I'm trying to turn your heart to the Word of God. He is the Good Shepherd. He gave His life for the sheep. I am a shepherd. I am a shepherd called to shepherd you and to do something for you and to watch over you because you are the sheep of His pastor. And when He comes, He'll give me a crown of life that won't fade away. But He's the Good Shepherd. And He is the chief shepherd. And when the chief shepherd appears, then He'll give me a reward for being a shepherd to His people. So then we are all one. I am He and He is me, and we are Him and He is us. And we are one in Him, all of us, as the body of Jesus Christ, members in particular. And we need to love one another and need to be concerned. If you don't have a concern tonight about lost souls, if you're not concerned, you need to do something. Let me say this right hurriedly before we sing. I saw on this trip, and the Lord knows that I'm not lying, I'm not exaggerating. I saw people literally stampede like horses and cattle to get to the literature and to the people that was passing out. I saw children, I saw grown-ups, I saw teenagers. I saw them literally stampede until they pressed over people and some of them against fences until I was informed that the blood came. Where some refused to yield their position trying to get the tract or the Word of God. And they were just literally mashing some of them almost to death. But they still wouldn't leave until they got the Word of God. I saw their eyes look longingly. The expressions on their faces looked longingly because they wasn't getting a piece of literature. Looked longingly like the very end of the world had come because they couldn't get a hold of a piece of literature. Starving to death. Waiting for you and waiting for me. Somebody said, well, why don't Brother Roberts do something? He's tried to do what he could. Why don't Billy Graham do something? Why don't T.L. Osborne do something? Why don't David Terrell do something? But see, the thing is, why don't you and I do something? If God sent us into that area, if God put us here, then why don't we do something? See, they got to do whatever they've got to do, but we've got to do whatever we've got to do. So then why don't we do something? What are you doing? What am I doing? How do you understand what I'm saying? See, what are you doing? I want you to ask yourself the question. Don't ask yourself the question what Brother Pike's doing. Like Jesus said to Peter and the others, whatever John does, that's none of your business. He said, I'll do with him whatever I want to. But ask yourself the question, what am I doing? Every person in here that's old enough to understand, even the children, ask yourself, man and woman, boy and girl alike, just ask yourself this question. Say, Lord, what am I doing for God or for the kingdom of God or for little Bethlehem? And I'll tell you what, some of you will find out you're doing nothing but gossiping, complaining, finding fault, always finding fault, tearing down, wanting to leave, wanting to ramble, wanting to eat, wanting to drink, frolic, buy, spend, lay around, do nothing, sleep, complain. But some of you will find out that there's a vision in your heart and you really want to do something for God and you're really trying to do something for God and you'll do more for God. Let God purge you. Bring forth more fruit. Do more for God. If you're not doing anything for God, get in and do something for God.